Today is Monday, May 14th, or 24th day of the month of Iyar. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph in Masech HaSukkah. Hey, Rabotai. The sugya which we have been discussing the last week or two, and will continue tonight, the Gemara will continue tonight, is the debate as to how many brachos are recited for the mitzvah of lulav during the course of sukkahs, and how many brachos are recited for the mitzvah of sukkah during the course of sukkah. We saw that there were three opinions. One opinion is that you make a bracha for both every single day. Another opinion is that you only make a bracha every single day for sukkah, but you don't make for lulav. And the other opinion is the reverse, that you make for lulav, but you don't make for sukkah. So now we're smack in the middle of the page, where the Gemara had said, and we read this last week, where the Gemara said, it's about two thirds of the way down. Va'af Rav Savar Kol Shiva Mitzvah Slulav. Six lines before the lines get wide. Va'af Rav Savar Kol Shiva Mitzvah Slulav. Rav also is of the opinion that all 7 days you're supposed to make a bracha on lulav all 7 days, despite the fact that it's only midrabana. If you remember correctly, the argument that had been presented by Rabbi Bar Chan in the name of Rabbi Yochanan as to why you only make a bracha the first day was based on the fact that the first day is d'oraisa. The last days are only midrabbana. And it would appear from this Gemara that he is of the opinion that you never make a bracha on a din d'rabbana. So now the Gemara says, V'af Rav Savar Kol Shiva Mitzvah Slulav. Rav would agree that you do make a bracha on a din d'rabbana, and consequently you can recite the bracha on lulav all 7 days, despite the fact that the last six are only midrabbana. How do I know that Rav said that? The Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav Hamadlik Ner Shel Chanukah Tzoruch Levarich. Rav Chiya said in the name of Rav that somebody who lights Ner Chanukah must make a bracha. Everybody acknowledges that Ner Chanukah is only midrabbanan. Must be that Rav is of the opinion that you make a bracha on a din d'rabbanan. Here too, the Gemara claims that Rav would acknowledge as a result that you make a bracha on lulav the last 6 days despite the fact that it's only midrabbanan. So we already mentioned last week, or 2 weeks ago, that this is not the most compelling proof around. Because it could very well be that Rabbi Bar Chan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that you don't make a bracha on lulav, is not because of the fact that it's a mitzvah midrabbana. That's not the reason. It's because of the fact that it's a zecha lemikdash. Maybe he believed that only a mitzvah which is a zecha lemikdash, you don't make a bracha on. But you have no right to necessarily conclude from that, that every single din derabbanan, you don't make a bracha. However, from this Gemara, where the Gemara is showing that Rav disagrees with that opinion, you see that the Gemara believes that was running through Rabbi Bar Chan in the name of Rabbi Yochanan's mind. That for every single derabbanan, you never make a bracha. So now I can pose that Rav disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan said you don't make a bracha on a din derabbanan, Rav says you do make a bracha on a din derabbanan. How do I know? Because he says you make a bracha lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. So the fact that the Gemara tries to support Rav against Rabbi Yochanan, you see that this Gemara does not agree with what we said last week. We said last week that Rabbi Yochanan, you don't have to go so far as to claim that Rabbi Yochanan says you don't make a bracha on all the Rabbanans. No, you can say that Rabbi Yochanan is a little more narrow. He acknowledges that you make a bracha on a din derabbanan, but not with a derabbanan, is only a zecha lemikdash. That's why he said, for lulav, you don't make a bracha all 7 days. Because all 6 days, the remaining 6 days, the mitzvah of lulav is only zecha lemikdash. From this Gemara you see that that's not what Gemara believes is the correct interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan. Because the Gemara is setting up an opposition. Rav versus Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said there is no lulav bracha all 6 days. And Rav said, Rav says there is. But Rav never said that you make a bracha on lulav. What did Rav say? Rav said you make a bracha on Ner Chanukah. That's what Rav said. You make a bracha on Ner Chanukah. From which the Gemara is extrapolating that if you make a bracha on Ner Chanukah, what else should you be making a bracha on? Lulav. On lulav. So from the Gemara's extrapolation, you believe, you see conclusively that what the Gemara had in mind in opposition to Rav, namely Rabbi Yochanan, was you never make a bracha on any din de Rabbanan. You never make a bracha on any din de Rabbanan. And Rav obviously does believe you make a bracha on every din de Rabbanan. How do I know? Because Rav said, by Lahadlik Nerish Chanukah, you're supposed to make a bracha. So I can conclude and infer that Rav also would say that you would make a bracha on the Tilas Lulav days 2 through 6. Even though, as we said just 2 seconds ago, you could have said there's no comparison. Ner Chanukah you make a bracha because that's a mitzvah de Rabbanan. Lulav you don't make a bracha because it's only a Zecha LeMikdash. But the Gemara doesn't say that. So the Gemara here is putting words into Rav's mouth. Rav never said that you make a bracha on lulav. What did Rav say? You make a bracha lahadlik ner shochanukah. And from that the Gemara concludes Rav would hold that you make a bracha on lulav as well. That's what the Gemara says. Let's read it again. The Amar Chena Rav Yitzchak, the Af Rav Savar Kol Shuvah Mitzvahs Lulav. Rav also holds that you say a bracha on lulav all 7 days. Now what would he have expected the Omar, Rav Chia, Bar Ashi, Omar Rav, what would be the next line if Rav said it black on white? What would be the next line? That you make a bracha on the Tilas Lulav. That's what you expect the next line. That Rav Chia quoted Rav, you're supposed to say on the Tilas Lulav.
So why wouldn't you do that?
Because he never said it. He never said that you make a bracha on lulav. The Gemara is making an assumption that if Rav says you make a bracha on Chanukah, you probably make a bracha on a lulav also, days 2 through 7. That's the assumption that the Gemara is making. The Amar Rav Chia Bar Ashi Amar Rav Hamadlik Ner Shel Chanukah Tzoruch Levarech. Rav Yirmiyah Amar Haroah Ner Shel Chanukah Tzoruch Levarech. But the point is that whoever this Amoraic sage is, who believes that Rav would have said that, he never heard it from Rav directly. He is making an inference from something else that Rav said, and as we pointed out, the inference is not necessarily compelling. I could have said Rav agrees with A, disagrees with B, very easily. Could have said that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a pure inference because Hanukkah is totally the Rabbanan, and you have Yom Rishon here, the Doraisa.
Correct.
So
the fact that you make a bracha on Ner Chanukah,
bending it more.
Correct. It's an extension, an enormous
more
extension.
So, because at least you have Yom Rishon of Minatora.
Of Lula.
Of Lula.
Right.
And Chanukah you have zero, it's all Lula.
Correct.
And it's not exactly...
Correct, but his point is that if you make a bracha on a din de Rabbanan of Chanukah, why shouldn't you make a bracha on a din de Rabbanan of Lula? Exactly. That's the Gemara's assumption.
The Gemara itself, on Memhei of Days,
yes,
that Rav Barathan Amar of Yochanan, they give the reason right there. It says, Sukkah deraisa shiva, Lulav derabanan sagilei b'chad.
Correct, but we could. Word sagilei derabanan can be interpreted in two ways. Either he means you don't make a bracha on any derabanan, or maybe it's on a derabanan which is only zecha lemikdash. You don't make a bracha because the conclusion which you would now operate with that every sugya in Shas that deals with a bracha on a din derabbanan, they don't agree with. And the Gemara never said deloy k'rabbi
Yochanan. It's also sagi le. It doesn't say delo amar le. He says it's like it's enough. You made the bracha once, so the rest.
Okay. Perhaps. So from this line of the Gemara, you see how it understood Rabbi Yochanan. So now the Gemara asks in the first wide line, umay mevarech, and what exactly my mevarech? Two lines before the lines get wide. What exactly is the text of the bracha? Amar Rav Yehuda, Yom Rishon Hamadlik Mevarech Shalosh, Haroa Mevarech Shtayim. Mikan Ve'elech, Madlik Mevarech Shtayim, Haroa Mevarech Achas. Umay Mevarech, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shekir Shem Tzisam Tzivanu, Ladin Ner Shulchanaka. Ve'heichon Tzivanu, and this is the focus of tonight's shir, where indeed did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us to light the Ner Chanukah? Two answers. Answers the Gemara, Milo Tasur. The Lav in Pas Shoftim, which says, Lo Tasur min Hadavar Ashiyagidu Lecha Yaminismo. Not to deviate, nor to the right, nor to the left, from anything that they tell you, the rabbis of the Bezdin. The Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar. No, it's not a Lav, it's an Asay. Sha'al avicha v'yageitcha. Ask your elders what you should be doing. No, so if you ask your elders told you to make a bracha. So sha'al avicha v'yageitcha. Okay, fine. Now, I want to spend the lion's share of tonight understanding the lav of Lo Sasser. It's quoted so frequently in trying to give teeth to din derabbanans. So what we're going to see today is a titanic machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvot. So please take the sheet that I distributed, which is Shoresh Aleph, the first Shoresh of the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot. The first Shoresh. The Rambam wrote a book, Sefer HaMitzvot, in which he was not the first, nor will he be the last, to record for us what he thinks are the 613 mitzvot. Nowhere in the Torah does it tell you that there are 613 mitzvot. That is an assumption which the Gemara in Makos makes based on a gematria. On a gematria. The Gemara darshins, it's a pasuk, the first pasuk that we teach every child, according to the Gemara in Sukkah, which we're in, Kotn Hayochel Adaber, Aviv Melamdo, Torah, Tziva, Lanu Moshe, Morasha Kilak Yaakov. The word Torah is the numerical value is 611. So we're saying, Torah, 611 mitzvot, Tziva, Lanu Moshe. Moshe taught Am Yisrael 611 mitzvot. And two, we heard from HaKadosh Baruch himself. Anoichi and Lo Yelecha, first two Dibrot, we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this has been acknowledged by everybody that there are 613 mitzvot. But the problem is, nowhere in the Torah text does it tell you what constitutes a mitzvah and what does not constitute a mitzvah. So the first person to code something like this was Rav Sadyugon, first one. And then there was another one after Sadya, the Balalochas Gedolos, the Bahag. And the Rambam decided to write his book, the Sefer HaMitzvot, attacking the Bahag. That was his purpose, to show that the Bahag's count of the 613 mitzvot was wrong. And in addition to listing what he believed are the 248 mitzvot aseh, and the 365 mitzvot lo taaseh, the Rambam has 14 sets of principles to determine for us why I count something as a mitzvah and why I don't count something as a mitzvah. So if you will ever ask me, why did I omit A and I counted B? Why did I count C and omit D? If you study well my 14 principles, you will be able to figure out a method to my madness. That's what the Rambam says. So this is the first Shoresh amongst the 14 Shrashim in which the Rambam is directly taking issue with the Bahag. It's several pages long. We're not going to see the whole thing. We're going to see a couple of lines here and then towards the end and inside the Ramban's attack on the Rambam. Because the Ramban wrote a critique of Sefer HaMitzvot. And he says, I have to disagree with the Rambam. He omitted this one, and I say you should count it. Well, if he counts this in the Rambam, you have to omit something else. Because everybody agrees there's 613. So therefore, the Ramban, it's printed in our Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban's critique of the Rambam. It would be just worth it to read the Ramban's introduction to Sefer HaMitzvot to see the awe and reverence that he had for the Rambam. And you get such a different picture than if you read the Ravid. We've seen many times the Ravid speak so disparagingly about the Rambam. It's not worth the paper it's written on. If this is his own Svara, little children think that way. Yeah, he forgot an open Gemara. All kinds of harsh things. The Ramban starts his things, who am I to attack the Nesher HaGadol, the great eagle? But for the sake of the honesty of Torah, I have to disagree with him, but it's done with incredible reverence. It's very nice to see the Ramban's Hakdama to Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Rambam writes, HaShorish HaRishon, She'ein ra'ui limnot b'chlal hazeh HaMitzvot She'ein midirabanan. The first thing that bothered him about the Bahag was that the Bahag counted several mitzvot midrabanan amongst the 613 mitzvot. So the first thing, he's going to mention them. The first thing that the Rambam codes is, you can't have a mitzvah midrabanan that counts amongst the 613 mitzvot. Da, ki zeho inyan, lo haya ru'uy le'orer olav, lebi'uro. This should have been something which doesn't need me to explain to you. Why? Ki achar shehaya lashon haTalmud sheish meot u'shlosha esrei mitzvos ne'emru leMoshe b'Sinai. Once the Gemara in Makko says there are 613 mitzvot which God gave at Sinai, eich nomar b'davar shehu midrabanan shehu bichlal aminit. How can anybody claim that something which has been legislated only midirabanan can be counted? So I'm going to start talking, and he says, by right, there should be nothing to talk about. He obviously just made a silly mistake, but it's impossible. Says, Aval he'irunu alav. I'm going to comment on it and alert you to it. Why? Because I know where he went wrong. I know where the Bahag went wrong, and I'm going to correct that for you. Mipnei shita'u bo rabim, many people made a mistake. It's not many, it was the Bahag. The Rambam didn't want to single him out by name, but everybody knew who he was. Umanu, and he counted, Ner Chanukah, Mikra Megillah, Bichlal Mitzvot Aseh, V'chein, Mea Brachos B'chol Yom. You're supposed to make 100 blessings every single day. V'nichum Avelim, Ubikur cholin, ukvuras mason, vahalbashas arumim, dressing the naked, vachishuv tkufos, and to calculate various tkufot, ushmona asar yom ligmar benes ha'halel, the 18 days a year when you recite the halel, all counted by the Bahag as mitzvah sase. Vahistakel mishi yishma lishonam ne'emru, Lo Lamosha Misinai, Vyimne Kriyas Ahalel, Shishibech Bo David Alav Hashalom, Ho'el, Yit Aleh, Shitsiva Valmosha. It sounds a little funny that somebody will tell me that amongst the 613 mitzvot, which Moshe legislated, is that we should be saying Halel, which was composed by whom? A David HaMelech. Sounds a little absurd. V'yimne ner Chanukah shikavu chachamim b'bayis sheni, and that they should count the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, which was established during bayis sheni. V'chein mikra megillah. Omnam heyos Moshe ne'emar lo b'Sinai shiyitzavunu kishiye be'achris mamlachtenu v'yikre lanu ima yavenim kach v'kach yitchayev lanu shenadlik ner Chanukah. Maybe you know what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu was a prophet, and he said, "You know what? One day there are going to be some Yevanim who are going to make life miserable for you. And what's going to happen? The Chashmonaim are going to come up, and they're going to proclaim the victory. And therefore, I, Moshe Rabbeinu, tell you that when this thing happens, what should you be doing? You should be lighting the menorah. Hine, eini ro'eh." I just can't imagine that anybody would say that that's what happened. That Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai and said, I know there's going to be somebody by the name of Haman. And Haman's going to try to eradicate everybody. So when that happens, I'm telling you, I, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm telling you what, read the Megillah, which will be written by Mordechai and Esther. Lo olo al adat. Uma shiyera eli, and that which appears to me, says the Rambam, sheheviyam elze. How did the Bahag come to such a mistake? Heyotenu mivarchin al elu hadvarim, asher kedushan b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al mikra megillah. What led him to this conclusion is the bracha, and the bracha says asher kedushan b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. Al mikra megillah or la hadlik ner v'lig moris ahalel ush elat haTalmud, and the Gemara's question. The first time it appears is in Shabbos. The second time it appears is in our Gemara, which we just read. Heichan sivanu, where did God legislate and tell us that what that you're supposed to read the megillah? Ve'amru, what did the Gemara say? Milo tasur. So now, where do you think the Rambam is headed with Lo Tasur? Where do you think he's headed? In defense of the Bahag. Where is he headed? Makes it to a Doraisa. If the Torah is telling me that any time you have a subsequent Bezdin, I want you to listen to them. And therefore you can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, told me to read the Megillah. Well, if that's the case, it's not so far-fetched to say that Mikra Megillah is also one of the 613 mitzvot. Why? Because it's somehow under the guise of Lo Tasur. Now, says the Rambam, if that's what run through his mind, V'im Mitamze Manu Osam, if that's what's running through the Bahag's mind, hine ra'ui sheyimnu kol davar shehu mit rabbanan. He should have listed, like, there should be 62,000 mitzvos in Har Sinai. Why? Because there are 62,000 rabbinic decrees. Ki chol ma she'omru chachamim la'asoto v'chol ma she'hezhinu mimenu. Whatever the rabbis told us, this tape recorder is muktz on Shabbos. Okay, so muktz now is under the category of lo tasur, in which case muktz should now be one of the 613 commandments. You know how to move things on Shabbos. The Hu Amro, and God said, Al pi haTorah asher yarucha, v'al haMishpat asher yom lecha ta'aseh. V'hiz hi ranu, and he warned us. Mi avor bidavar mikol mashetiknu o gazru. The Omar lo tasur min hadavar sheyagir lechayimin usmo. The im yimne kol mashehu midrabanan tachat yugid tariyag mitzvot min neshu nichnas tachas amu yitale lo tasur min meina manu bifrat elu. Why did he only count his handful of mitzvot which are midrabanan? V'lo manu zulatam. Why didn't he count? Next page. Why didn't he count? Why didn't he count? Ukemay Shemanu Ner Chanukah Umikra Megillah. It's page Tezayin now. Umikra Megillah. Hayilahem Limnos Netilas Yadayim. Why didn't he count the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim that you have to wash? Umitzvas Eruv. Because when you washed your hands for bread this morning or for lunch, when you had your bagel, did you say Asher Kedeshanu b'mitzvah Yisav Tzivanu before you washed your hands? After you washed, of course you did. And when you put up an Eruv, did you say Asher Kedeshanu b'mitzvah Yisav Tzivanu? Yeah. So if what's running through the Bahad's mind is, I make a Birchas HaMitzvah, and the Birchas HaMitzvah flashes me to Lo Tasur, and therefore I have a right to count Hallel and Mikra Megillah, well, be consistent. Count also Netilas Yadayim. Count also putting up an Eruv. K'moshi Nivarech al Mikra Megillah Hadlik Ner Chanukah V'hakol Midrabanan. V'hakol Midrabanan. So therefore, the Rambam will say that just because of the fact that we are obligated to follow rabbinic legislation by a Din D'Rabbanan based on Lo Tasur, that doesn't mean that it's what? One of the Taryag Mitzvot. So therefore the Rambam goes on to say that the rest of the thing is that he just made a big mistake. And therefore my rule of pinky is any time you have a mitzvah midrabanan, it cannot count as one of the 613. Why did the Bahagdut? He must have been misled by this Gemara, but the problem is he's inconsistent. If he was consistent, he should have counted Eruv, he should have counted Netilas Yadayim, and every rabbinic decree as well. Good. Now, the Rambam just said, the only thing which I felt the Bahad went too far is that what? That it shouldn't count as one of the 613 mitzvot. But that doesn't mean that it's not included on the Lo Tasur. It is included on the Lo Tasur. Means, if I don't read the Megillah, what have I violated? What have I violated? Lo Tasur. If I don't light a menorah on Chanukah, what have I violated? Lo Tasur.
Is that what he says?
Yes, the Rambam says that.
I thought he said, when he says it, he's saying, why are we allowed to say Asher Kedeshanu B'Tzivanu? He's just referenced the bracha.
Correct. But what is the Gemara answer to bracha? Lo Tasur.
That's the bracha.
No, they didn't tell us just to make a bracha. The bracha is an indication of what the rabbis told us to do. The rabbis told us to light Chanukah. Where did it say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to follow the rabbis? That's Lo Tasur. So the bracha is just indicating what we have to do. We have to light candles. And the bracha is telling us, we have to light candles. The Rambam is just saying that can't count as Taryag Mitzvos. Can't count as one of the 613. But the fact that Mikra Megillah, Kriyas Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, every one of those is included on the Lo Tasur, the answer is yes. That is the Rambam's opinion. Now we're going to read the Ramban's attack of this particular position. Forget about counting, the Ramban will say, forget about counting as one of the 613. I have a problem with this. Please go to where it says, page Yutet. Page Yutet. Here he just in the Rambam on the second line he just says, well, if the Bahad was right, why didn't he count every what the Gemara calls Shnius La'rayos? The Torah has a list. We read it 2 weeks ago of women with whom you're not permitted to get married. Okay, are you allowed to marry your grandmother midoraisa? The answer is yes. You're allowed to marry your grandmother. The Rabbanan, it's one of the Shnius La'rayos. Why would anybody want to marry their grandmother? Because he's loaded. And the halacha is, when your wife dies, you yairish your wife. So you'll marry your grandmother and live a couple of years and that'll be it. You'll become a multimillionaire. But the Rabbanan prohibit it. So he's going to ask, why don't we count that grandmother as one of the 630? Because it's under Lo Tasur. So the Rambam just goes on and on and on. Now I bracketed on the left-hand side the attack of the Ramban. Forget about the counting it as a mitzvah of 613. I, Ramban, want to challenge the very premise of the Ramban. Vihine, Harav, he uses very, this is unusually sharp for him. Bone choma givoha, the Rambam built very high walls, saviv ledivrei chachamim, somehow supporting the words of the chachamim by saying what gives us the what obligates us to observe the words of the chachamim? Lo tasur. So lo tasur is that wall around all rabbinic law. Avalhi kiparat nofel. Niv'a b'choma niskiva asher pit'om lepeta yavo shivra. What's happening? What's it going to be like? It's going to come crumbling down. It's like a castle that's going to come crumbling down. The Rambam built very high walls, but the foundation is very weak. And it's going to come crumbling down. Why? Lefi shehi svara nifsedet berov mikomot b'talmud. It's something that will be against and undermine too many halachot in the Gemara. Ki hinei l'da'ato, because according to him, hamishtamesh v'mechubar, somebody who uses something that is attached to the ground, like a tree. Like a tree. Now where might you want to use a tree on Shabbos and Yom Tov? How would you use a tree? Mishtamesh b'mechubar. What? A hammock. Exactly. To tie a hammock between two trees. Kigon shenismach al o'ilon. Somebody's very tired and he's leaning on a tree. O shemitaltel hamachat mechamol etzel b'shabbos. Or he moved a needle from the sun to the shade. He had a needle. Needle is a klisha malach d'leiser. What do you do with a needle? You sew. And it was lying out in the sun and it was going to get ruined. I want to move it to the shade. O sha'amar l'goy. Or he told a Gentile to do something for you on Shabbos. Ve'asa. Ve'afilu hefsia psiagasa. What did you do on Shabbos? I took giant steps. Psiagasa. I walked like this on Shabbos. So I did any of those things. Overhu alasei ve'avar ve'alotase minatayla. According to you, Rambam, I just violated an asay and a lotase. How did I violate an asay? How did I violate an asay? As the pasuk says, "Eis asher yagidu lecha yamin as kol davar asher yagidu lecha ta'ase." I want you to do exactly what they said. What did the rabbi say? Walk nicely, slowly on Shabbos. Don't move a needle from the sun to the shade. Don't lean on a tree. Now, you didn't listen to them. So you violated the asay. And what law did you violate? Lotasur. Says the Rambam. Is the Rambam really serious? That every single time that I will violate an Issa d'Rabbanan, I will now violate as well an Isur Asay and a lav. And a lav. V'ro'ui hu lilkos malkus alba'im. I mean to tell me you should get 40 lashes? Because what's the typical punishment for violating a lav? What's the typical punishment for violating a lav? Lashes. Malkus. Well, I violated a lav. Ella shepatro harav sham b'sefer shoftim. The Rambam really, in these cases where the isur d'rabbanan is an isur of Shabbos, on Shabbos the rabbi said you can't move your needle. On Shabbos the rabbi said you're not allowed to what? Lean on a tree. On Shabbos you're not allowed to ask a guy to do something. Mipnei shenitein la'asharas mises bezdin. So here you have a way out.
What does this mean? Any time the primary punishment is subject to a death penalty, you never administer lashes for a secondary prohibition. Never violate lashes for a secondary prohibition. For example, okay, two witnesses see you that you are about to turn on the light on Shabbos. And they tell him, listen, Rebbe, if you're going to turn on the light on Shabbos, you're going to violate the law of lo ta'aseh kol molacha. And you turned it on. Will you be able to be executed in court on those exactly what I warned you? Will you be able to be executed? Why not?
He didn't give him the right halacha that he did.
Okay, let's assume, I told him, how about it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? He said...
But they didn't tell him the punishment.
Correct! I didn't mention the punishment. Didn't mention the punishment. You're supposed to tell him, listen, buddy, if you're going to turn on the light, you're going to get stoned. I didn't mention it. So, but did he violate the law of lo ta'aseh kol molacha? Yes. So at least give him lashes. So the rule is no. If any offense could in theory lead to what? To a death penalty? So there is no lashes. So the Rambam can weasel his way out and say, in these cases where I ask you, where you violated Issa D'Rabbanan, you won't get lashes. Why won't you get lashes? Because the d'oraisa of Chil Shabbos is covered by a death penalty. Okay, Mr. Ramos, you'll weasel out of that one. That's what he said. But he's going to nail him 2 seconds later. And the Shapatro Harab Shum, the Sefer Shoftim, the Meshinitain La Asaras Mises Besdi. Shikol Chacham, Shimimare Al Divrayam, Isasa Bechanet. Vihine Lidvarav. Lokehu l'da'asa omer b'talmud, lav shenitin l'asaras mises bezdin, loken alav. What about according to the Mandi Yamar and the Gemara says, that even if something has a death penalty, if you can't implement the death penalty, what do? You give the guy lashes. So what are you going to say according to him? If he went ahead and violated Issa Muktza, he should be giving lashes. Why? Because you violated a law of lo tasu. That law indeed cannot lead to a death penalty because it's not one of the 39 malachas. But according to the opinion who says, law hanitein la'asharas mises bezdin, a law that can in theory lead to a death penalty, you get malchus where you can't implement the death penalty, there should be malchus for this as well. Ve'ro'ui l'fi hadas azu, 3 lines from the bottom, l'hachmir ba'od b'divrei sofrim. Any time you have a rabbinic law and there's a suffix about it, what should you say? You should be machmir. Why should you be machmir? Because it's a sfeika d'oraisa. Ein b'neihem shikulam torahe. Ein b'neihem shum hefresh. V'ein b'davar davar chamur yosir min hashvus. There is nothing worse than violating rabbinic law. Shelo divrayim, which is only asa midrabban. Ela b'mechuyavei krisos o misos bezdin. That's page chav. Shikol divrayim lava asim. The Rabbu Seinu b'chol ha-Talmud omrin hafeich mizeh. And the rabbis throughout the Gemara say just the opposite, Mr. Rambam. Shaharei heim donin kol divrei sofrim l'hokeh. They rule all rabbinic law to take a more lenient approach whenever there is a sofer. Mehem b'isurim k'mo she'amru sveika de'oraisa l'chumra. Mistake of the rabban, lakulu. Vehekelu bechashash isun de divrayim lomar sha'ani omer beperek rishon shelupsachim ema da aminan sha'ani omer b'derabbanan b'daraisa miyane sha'ani omer. And he brings another expression where the Gemara says that by a din da oraisa you apply one argument, by a din da rabbanan you don't apply that argument. According to you, Rambam, there are no differences between a din d'oraisa and a din d'rabbanan, because every din d'rabbanan touches upon a din d'oraisa. Ve'eminu haktanim she'enam ru'uyim l'ha'id. And I'll prove it to you that there is a difference. He quotes a Gemara Pesach. If you did the Dikas Chametz, and now you're checked out, you're not home, somebody comes in and is renting your apartment, and he wants to know if he has to do a Bedika again, and you have a 10-year-old son who said, you know what, my father did Bedika. Are you allowed to believe him or not? So the Gemara says, if Bedikas Chametz were d'oraisa, we would not believe him. Because he's a punk. Below Bar Mitzvah, he can't offer testimony. But since Bedikas Chametz is only midrabbanan, we're going to what? We're going to accept him. Why is Bedikas Chametz only midrabbanan? Because midoraisa, all you need is bidur. Just declare all your chametz is butter. So what do I need? So he says, how could the Gemara have discriminated, according to you, Mr. Rambam, and allowed a Katan to testify that Bedikas Chametz was done? After all, it touches upon a da'oraisa of lo tasun. V'chein be'inin tchumin ne'eman hakatan lomar ad kan tchum Shabbos. So when you're in Camp Rawley, opposite Magen Av, a minor can say, ooh, the tchum Shabbos is up till this tree. And you have an obligation to believe it. You have a right to believe it. If he tells you it goes up to that tree, I'm allowed to walk over there, even though it may have been 5 steps early. Why? Because Tchum Shabbos is only with the Rabbanan. So we trust a minor. According to you, Rambam, no, it's a din d'oraisa, because it touches upon lo sasur. And he goes on and on and on to prove sugya after sugya that the Gemara distinguishes between a d'oraisa and a Rabbanan. Sugya after sugya. Therefore, the Ramban disagrees with the Ramban and claims Isurei Derabbanan are not subsumed under Lo Tasur. Not subsumed under Lo Tasur. You now have to do it in the Derabbanan. That is true. But that does not mean that every time that I violate a Din Derabbanan, I will violate the law of Lo Tasur. It does not mean that at all. In trying to explain the machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban, Rab Chaim posed the following scenario. Listen very carefully. It'll be worth coming to this just for this alone. Just for this alone. There are many mitzvos in the Torah where the Torah frames the mitzvah with an aseh and a lo ta'aseh. For example, in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah tells us the mitzvah, if somebody comes to you, ki yeh becha evyom, what is the mitzvah saseh? Nason titei lo. Give him stuff. Now there is also a lav. What does the lav say? Lo se'ameitzis yadcha. Don't close your hand. Very nice. Asks Rab Chaim. In this case, you have an assay to do something and a lotase, not to do something, to fail to do. Which is the most important thing? Is it? Let me frame the alternatives and then I'm going to give you an example where the opposite will be true. Is the ikar the mitzvah saseh? And the lota says, just to give a little more strength to it? Or do we say no? The ikar is the lota aseh. But to give the ikar, the lota aseh a little more strength, I also covered it with a mitzvah saseh. So what would be your gut reaction by the mitzvah tzedakah? Is the isur, primary isur, not, don't ever shut your hand
Or is the primary mitzvah to give? What would you say? It would be, of course, your gut reaction. The mitzvah is aseh, of course. To give. That's what it is. The mitzvah is to give. How did the Torah intensify the mitzvah to make sure that we give? By also telling us that if you don't give, I'm going to violate a law. But the dagesh chazak is the mitzvah aseh. The dagesh chazak is the mitzvah aseh. I'll give you another illustration that fits into that thing. You build a house with a flat roof. Pasuk in Parshas Kisetze. Kisivne bayis chadash.
Ve'asisa ma'akeh ledagecha. Ve'lo tasim damim b'beisach. There is a lot. If you don't put up a ma'akeh, you're going to be responsible for spilled blood. What do you think is the objective there? Is the objective to put the fence up? Or is the objective, make sure you don't put the fence up? Of course the purpose is to put the fence up. To make sure you do so, I give you what? An additional mitzvah sase, a mitzvah lo sase. Now I'm going to give you somewhere where it's the reverse. The Torah says on Shabbos, lo ta'aseh kol melacha. And the Torah also says on Shabbos, ubayom harish hashvi'i tishbot. To rest. What's the most important thing by Shabbos? To rest or not to do melacha? What would you say? It's the lav. Don't do melacha. The lav is the most important thing. In order to strengthen the lav, not only would you violate a lav, but you will have failed to fulfill the mitzvah saseh of rest. Points out Rav Chaim. There are certain times in the Torah when the Torah has covered the very same action with both an aseh and a lo taseh. And our challenge is to identify which is the primary and which is the tafel. Those are the words he used. Which is the ikar and which is the tafel. Says Rav Chaim, I believe that this is the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. Listening to rabbinic law is covered by an aseh and a lo taseh. The aseh is Eis asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smal ta'aseh. Whatever they tell you to do, I want you to do. Now they also said, I don't want you to ignore what they said. Lo tasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smal. Which one's the ikar and which one's the tafel? Says Rav Chaim, that's the machloikis, the Rambam and the Ramban. According to the Ramban, the ikar is the lav. The ikar, the dogesh chazak, the ikar is lo tasur, do not deviate. And therefore it is a bona fide mitzvah lo ta'aseh. The aseh has just been introduced to give it a little more muscle, a little more clout. Not only do I not want you to transgress, I want you to listen to them too. So therefore, based on this, the lo ta'aseh is what's the dominant. If it's the dominant, every time we violate an Issa d'Oraisa, we are actually violating a law. Every time we violate Issa d'Rabbana, let people are not sleeping. Every time we violate an Issa d'Rabbana, I am also going to violate the law of Lotas. According to the Ramban, the Dagesh Chazak is to simply listen to what the Chachamim say. They are our spiritual guides. And therefore, the essence of the Isur is the Aseh. To establish a sense of respect and obedience. Eis asher yagidu lecha yamin usmal ta'aseh. As a secondary issue, to give it a little more clout, they also said, don't, lo tasur. But that's not what they really meant. They're not looking to say that this is a real love of the Torah. The idea is designed to what? To promote a certain relationship, a certain reverence, a certain respect. That's the aseh. Therefore, the Ramban could never imagine that the law of lo tasur is really to be applied in its literal sense. And hence, when you see every time that you violate Nisa the Rabbanan, it doesn't really mean that you violated lo tasur. But what is important here for tonight is not the application, it's to think about it. Every single time the Torah has two formulations for the same activity. An aseh and a lo tasur. I'll give you another illustration. The Torah tells you in Parsha Shmini, any animal that has split hoofs and chews its cud, osaf tochei. And then there is a lot. If it doesn't have split hoofs and chews its cud, you're not allowed to eat. Which is the mitzvah? Which is the dagesh chadas? The lav or the aseh? Of course, the lav. The aseh is you're supposed to eat kosher meat. Who cares about it? You don't eat kosher meat. Don't eat kosher meat.
Is that a mitzvah aseh? I
mean, okay, it's called an iser aseh, but it's formulated as an aseh. But what does the Torah want you to do? It doesn't say you have to eat meat. Okay, I know. But there it's formulated as an aseh, osaf tochelu. But that's not what the objective of the Torah is. The objective of the Torah is just don't eat the non-kosher. So our challenge is every single time that you find the same identical action covered by a positive thing, what to do. And then that very thing framed in the negative, not to do. You have to try to figure out what's the ikar and what's the tough.
So is there a general rule to help us figure that out?
No, there is no general rule. You got to use your brains. That's correct.
How does that work with something like matzah where it changes within the kar?
What do you mean?
We review the obligation to eat matzah the first day one way. And the rest of the time another way.
No, but that's because there's a conflict. It says, one pasuk says, Sheshish Yomim Tofel Matzos. That's a different issue. Once it says Shivas Yomim, once it says Sheshish Yomim. So the Gemara says, there's got to be a difference. One day it's the Choyva, one time it's the other one.
So it's for Matzah, the Aseh, Lotaseh?
No, there's no Lotaseh. Well, let's see. There's a Lotaseh Nati Chomets. But doesn't say you have to eat Matzah. That there, what we've come up with the difference between the 2 days of Yantiv, first night versus everything, is based on the fact that one time in Parashas Re'eh, the Torah uses the expression Sheshes Yom Tov.
But on the first day, would you have the same idea that it says to eat matzah, not to eat bread? Or that's,
correct. No, but there is a separate.
I'm moving on.
I hear what you're saying.
No, moving on. I'm moving on.
That might not be. It might be an illustration. It might not be, because they're two separate items. In all of the cases that I gave you, you can never do both at the same time. Here you can, I can eat matzah and violate law of tongues. It's not really synchronized. Here we're talking about it's the exact same action. Exact same action is what? Framed by a mitzvah saseh to do that. And that same action you are warned, don't not do. Give tzedakah. Don't close your hands. Only one way, either one, it's either one or the other. One or the other. So that's how that particular machloikis would be explained.
Are you saying in that case then the lav is not really real lav, and it's not a lav that you get makas for?
According to Ramban, 100%.
You have the two situations.
Right.
But what's a tafel, what's the ikar? If the tafel is a lav, you don't get makas for that lav?
No, that's precisely it. That is correct. You would say you'd never get makas for that. That's correct.
So in the case of stucco where it's a low sun mates, that's not really a lav.
Correct.
That's what Rav Chaim is saying. If you go like this, you're not going to get malchus.
But in the case of Lois Chester, how does Ramban say that that's only the Tufel?
Because his...
give it a lot of weight.
I know, but that's... The Ramban is giving it a lot of weight.
No, I'm saying, but you say, like, the Gemara here says Lo Tosser, you know, what's the source of the bracha? It's Lo Tosser, and other places...
Correct, but that's exactly what the... What's the machloikis is. One opinion didn't say it's Lo Tosser. Which one is it? Sha'al avicha v'yageitcha. That's the exact... It's the positive versus the negative.
So the
Rav Chaim is really saying that's the machloikis of the two opinions in the Gemara. What is the source that mandates us to observe rabbinic law? Is it the lav, lo tasur, or is the mitzvah saseh, sha'al avicha v'yageitcha?
So the Ramban say that's the real source.
Correct. That's the ikar. To establish a sense of yearning to listen to the rabbis. That's why we have to observe the mitzvah saseh. Sha'al avicha v'yageitcha. And the Rambam says, no, lo tasur. That's precisely it. Yes. Shabbos is the lav is the most important thing. That's correct. That's correct. That's correct.
The general.
Yeah.
General questions like this. When the Gemara says that, what's the source of? Why do we say Asher Kedushanu Tzivanu? So why isn't the text of the bracha to follow Chachamim? Why is it? What
that's a very good. In fact, there's going to be an opinion later which says. To every mitzvah the Rabbani, you're supposed to say the same thing. Asher Kishon says, L'shma Divrei Chacham. That's it. That's what you're supposed to say. When you light the menorah, you say, L'shma Divrei Chacham. When you read them again, L'shma Divrei Chacham. There is such an opinion. Exactly what you just said. Because there is no specific mitzvah to do what? To read the Megillah. The mitzvah is L'shma Divrei Chacham. And it's the same bracha for every single mitzvah the Rabbani. Every single mitzvah of the Rabbanan.
But if you believe Lo Tasur, if you believe that the negative is the primary, I guess, are there any other lavs that we lavin that we make a bracha on? It's kind of the opposite where we make a bracha on a lav.
Once you say that the isur is the lav, the main point is the lav.
Let me make a bracha. Asher k'demitzvah la'asos.
Yeah,
to do.
Because the rabbi, because by not doing it, you're not listening to them. Yeah, by not doing it,
it's an extra step.
I would grant you that. One of the other litmus test cases is the halacha of zaken mamre. The halacha is like this: if we are the best in the Sanhedrin Hagadol, okay, and we had a split decision, how are we going to decide what the halacha is? How are we going to decide what the halacha is? We're going to take a vote, precisely. Now, so let's assume Murray voted against us. The majority, Murray said no. I think you guys are wrong. Okay. Is Murray allowed to follow his own opinion for himself? The answer is yes. A member of the Sanhedrin not only is allowed to, according to many Rishonim, if he believes that this is the pshat, he must do so. What is the rebellious elder? He can't tell a soul that that's what he believes. Not one soul. If you ask him what the halach is, he has to say, the halach is what the rabbi said. If he tells you that the halach is what he said, he becomes a zakei mamre, and he's put to death, executed. Now, the question is, what happens if this issue was debated on a din d'rabbanan? We, the Sanhedrin, had a debate about a din d'rabbanan. And the status what happened. We took a vote. Murray was outvoted. Somebody came to Murray and asked him a shayla, and he passed him the way he believed the halacha is against the Sanhedrin on a din d'rabbanan. Will he become a zakei mamre or not? Many believe it depends on the machlokes, the Rambam, the Rambam. That according to the Rambam, you'll be a zakei mamre, even a din d'rabbanan. And according to the Rambam, never. Never. Listen carefully to the last thing. Says the Brisker Rav, it goes a little farther than my father.
a little further than my father. Listen carefully. I'm going to give you the illustration which the debate was. Pesach, Chatzos, on Erev Pesach was 12 o'clock. Real Chatzos. That's Midoraisa. Chametz is also Midoraisa after Chatzos. At 11 o'clock, somebody took chametz, went over to a woman, and he said, "Harayat mekudeshesli with this chametz." Were they mekudeshes or not? Now, from a Doraisa point of view, the chametz is not yet asur. Chametz is not asur. With the Rabbanan, it is chametz. With the Rabbanan, Issa chametz started early. Now, but he gave her $5,000 worth of ringings. $5,000 worth of ringings. Is she mikudeshes or not? Says the Brisker Rav, it goes one step beyond my father. According to the Rambam, the Chachamim have such great power that they render not only that the Gavra is not allowed to get married, the Chefza is called Chametz. The Chefza is called Chametz with the Rabbana. And Chametz has no worth. It's Asabana. Has no worth. So if it has no worth, what did you give the woman? Nothing. So she's not married. She doesn't need a get. According to the Ramban, where all it is what? That you're supposed to listen to the rabbis. But the rabbis don't have that capacity to do what? To say that ringdings at 11 o'clock is called chametz. That they can't do. They can expect you to listen to them. But they can't create something that is chametz when at 12 o'clock, when midoraisa becomes chametz at 12. So even though I should not go ahead and marry because the rabbi said don't use chametz after 11, if I did, the Kedushin will be valid. And she'll need a get. So the Brisker Rav takes Rav Chaim and goes one step further. The machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban is even sharper. Not only is what is the mitzvah saseh the primary, or is it the lotaseh, but what type of impact does it create on the article with which you are trying to discuss? According to the Ramban, it means that we are told not to violate rabbinic law. But it doesn't make the article into something that is asur on a rabbinic level. The Chefza is never asur. The Gavra shouldn't do so. That has not according to the Ramban, it goes even one step further.
How does this impact the idea you mentioned many times that the rabbis have the ability to uproot a mitzvah deraisa?
Okay, that's now, that would fit in much more in line with the Rambam than with the Ramban. That's correct. That many such illustrations where the Rabbanan color, whether you fulfill the mitzvah deraisa, gave the whole Shabbos Hagadol drasha on that 2 years. Correct. That's correct. Right?